Transitions are certainly bring moments of emotional stress. When you think in terms of a transition, you think about leaving something that you may know, maybe embrace and very familiar with, to embrace something now which is new. It's a moment both of joy, but also kind of a moment of sadness. The two emotions kind of clash. I remember in my own life, when I was entering college seminary, I had been just much like St. Francis, the Sales Seminary here, minor seminary. I entered the minor seminary. It was a day seminary, and you went home, and you were part of the family, and that was kind of a normal course. It pretty much mirrored a lot of what high school experience was for many, with the exception of a different type of formation that was given to you at the seminary. But college, now you were taken away from the family. You were now put into the seminary. And it was during that period of time that I entered the college seminary, which was the late 60s. And so that was a lot of psychologisms that were going on. You know, I mean, we were Carl Rogers and non-directive therapies, and, you know, we were all under examinations. And when we would have our meetings with our groups, they would be what they call T groups, where sensitivity groups, you know, sense of sharing with a particular group of about 10 or 12. And a priest was in charge, and we would have these meetings once a week. And it was about 6 months after we had come into the college seminary when the priest said, "I want you to share something that you haven't shared with anyone before." And, of course, it looked over to me and said, "Jerome, you go first." So I thought right away, and I said, "Okay, I'm going to share something with you that I haven't shared before." The first night that I came to the seminary, and we lived in very close quarters, seven by about 7 foot rooms, literally slots, you know, that are given. So everybody there, and there would be about 12 individuals in that, what they called a dorm. And I said, "I just want everybody to know that that first night, I cried myself to sleep. It just hit me that I was now leaving my home that I would be returning to every night, with the exception of a few vacations that would come into play. But now I was away on a journey. And when I would go home, I would come home to family, but that wouldn't be the place where I would be spending most of the time." And I said, it just struck me, you know, that this was the time when I was letting go of a family to pursue what call that I had been given. I expected a lot of the individuals to say, "Oh, not you. How could you be doing it? Not you." But instead, almost the majority of individuals said, "So did I. So did I." It was a moment of transition. Moment of transition, which was welcomed in the sense of following what God wants from us in terms of vocation, but it was a moment of transition which meant you were giving up, surrendering something which you knew in order to pursue that which you were called to. I've seen that happen oftentimes in before marriage ceremonies. And oftentimes it's depicted as the bride, you know, who suddenly is talking to mom or to dad, and the tears come rushing out, and now she realizes it's no longer going to be the relationship of home, but she's now going to be creating that family that it is. But one interesting case that I had was it hit a young man, strapping individual, former football player in high school, about 6'3", big masculine type of guy, and it came time for those vows at the altar. And as I started the vows, he started crying. I mean, just uncontrollably, the tears just kind of came down on his face. Now, interestingly enough, his wife, now they've been married about 27 years now, so his wife reached over, grabbed his hand, held it, and that was the strength by which he was able to get through. And when he talked to me before, he said, "I was a blittering idiot," he says, "you know, up there." I said, "No, you weren't." He said, but it just struck me that this was a moment now when I was surrendering the past, what I had known, and now embracing something new, something I was called to, something I desired, something I wanted, but in that, sacrificing that. This cathedral had about 1,200 to 1,300 people in yesterday for the ordination of six young men to the priesthood. And let me tell you, at that moment, there were a lot of tears, smiles of joy and stuff, but tears. Because again, there would be now the embracing of the new moment in these individuals' lives and a surrendering of what they had now known, for many of them, for 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8 years. I say that because when we take a look at the ascension, you've got to see the context of the ascension. The ascension is now these apostles are giving up the Jesus now they've known. The Jesus who was crucified on the cross, and then all of a sudden bringing them down into the depths of depression, the despair about the loss of the Savior, the loss of the one they had put all their hopes and dreams, and then suddenly he emerges, he rises from the dead, and now they're experiencing him. You know, the tremendous joy of the affirmation which must have been present, and the great confidence of the reliance upon that Jesus who was known, and now he's going to leave. He's going to go. Imagine the emotions of the apostles at that time. They must have clinged to him and saying, we don't have it recorded, but please don't go. Stay with us. Stay with us. And then echoed in the scripture again and again to them and to us, I must go so that the Holy Spirit can be sent. And then he gives them the task, embrace the mission. And what is that mission? Make the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, known to all the world. That's the task. That's the mission. And they are now commissioned, we hear in Mark's gospel, commissioned to go out, to baptize, to preach, to teach, and to make that Lord known. Because in reality, although the Lord will leave us as we know him in the ascension, he will remain with us in the body of the church so that we can make that Jesus known. It'll be different, yes, but it'll be the same Lord who healed, the same Lord who taught, the same Lord who created the connection to the Heavenly Father. The same Lord. The healing, though, goes on in and through his church. So with that great commissioning, we know that what was given up in the past now is now going to be embraced in a new way in and through his church to proclaim the living Lord. Interestingly enough, right at the end, especially of Acts, there's something that's thrown in there. And that's those two guys in white. You know, those two guys in white, maybe symbolic of angels, messengers. But they certainly have a message, not only for those who are there at the ascension, but for us for all times. And that is, hey, why are you looking up to the sky and waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus? He said he's going to come back. So now go out there. Do what he told you to do. Live it fully. And understand he's with you always until the end of the world. How wonderful if upon the Lord's return we were busy about loving one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.